Position number 22659, Reel 6.
So you're heading towards Malaysia. You've just left Colombo.
Yeah, we're heading. We left Colombo, we're heading towards Malaysia, and we're getting down towards the Sunda Straits. We had breakfast one morning. There was a toot-toot, and our ship suddenly did a right-angle turn and headed off. The next thing we knew was I think it was about a week later, we're outside Fremantle. Now, we were not the only ship. It was a convoy. And on our boat, instead of them putting us ashore first, we were, I think, the third ones to go off. And the boys were getting very annoyed over it, being in the home state, and they were held up.
Did you know why the ship had suddenly taken a right turn?
We were told that there had been enemy ships in the area, and one of our craft had been hit, and more or less, well, as far as we knew, then sunk, and that was, I think, the Perth.
Okay, so that was the 1st of March, 1942, HMS Perth sunk, the Battle of Java Sea.
Yeah.
So have you heard about the capture of Singapore? Which was on the 15th of February.
No, we didn't hear about the capture. We didn't hear about the capture of Singapore. We were probably travelling under sealed orders. And what we did here, I remember now, was being sort of introduced by talks on the Malaysian area where we were heading for. Well, never got there.
What were you hearing about on the talks?
Oh, just the general state of the area, who they were, and what was happening.
What was the reputation of the Japanese?
Well, they were deadly enemy, you couldn't trust them. The simplest thing was they weren't treated with respect, I don't mind saying.
Why was that?
Well, they were dead enemy and, the general behaviour that we'd heard about them.
What was that behaviour that you heard?
Well, they certainly weren't gentlemen, and are rather restricted in their knowledge of the outside world. And there was certainly no sympathy towards us from them. And of course, we didn't hand out any either, although at that stage we hadn't met them.
Because there was, in particularly, I get this impression in the desert, that there was respect for the German Africa Corps to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't say that there was a respect for the Japanese in the same regard. And I'm interested to know why that was the case, why they weren't seen as gentlemanly.
Well, we had the impression that they were somewhat... could you call it animal-like? And no respect for the enemy or their behaviour. And certain things that happened later on, so we heard about, they were certainly no respect.
So on leaving Colombo and coming back to Fremantle, you were mentioning to me that you'd heard some news about the Japanese in Colombo.
Yes, that they bombed the place after we'd left. They didn't really heard about us, but they hadn't got it early enough for them. And we were clear of the area. We didn't suffer immediately there from them. Well, then they didn't follow us up. And we were more or less clear on the way down to Fremantle.
Were there any precautions taken? And if so, what were they on the way back to Fremantle?
No, the precautions, well, they were taken by the organisation on the ship, such as ECAC, crews and that, and what guns we had that could be used, they were used on the ship, or else guns on the ship were manned by either the ship's people or ours, but I think that mainly our people, because they're only light guns, they weren't heavy attack guns.
So what was it like to see the coastline of Western Australia again?
Well, we didn't know too much. We recognised Rottnest, I think. I mean, it wasn't yesterday. And we thought we'd be heading into the harbour and unloading, being our home state. But unfortunately, we were the last ones of the main bodies to be unloaded. And
why do you think that was?
Pardon?
Why do you think that was, that you were the last to be unloaded?
Haven't a clue. No, just as it didn't happen, we were there when it was a day before we were unloaded. And when we were ashore, of course, some of the lads apparently said, well, we'll make the most of it. And some are missing for a week. And they finally caught us up in Adelaide.
So what was it like to be back in Frio, Western Australia?
Well, to me, I was very concentrated on my own parents and the remainder of the family. When I say the family, I wasn't married then, but it was my brothers and sister and my parents. They were, of course, they were pleased to see me. I had, as a matter of fact, sent home some herbs from Palestine. And my mother had sent a note back to say that, right, we'll keep these, and when you come home, we'll have a turkey. Well, the day after I landed home, we had the turkey. But there were a number of missing, and of course, after Fremantle, we moved round to Adelaide.
How long were you in WA for?
I think it was only about 3 days. It wasn't a long stay. We only had a short stay in Fremantle, and we moved from there around by ship to Adelaide.
Just before we get to Adelaide, can you recall what the general atmosphere of Perth was like when you got there, given the fact that the Japanese were in Singapore?
Of course, the local population was hostile to them. And I know my father was very hostile to them, not that he was a returned man or anything like that, but his father had been with the British Army, and he was very hostile towards them. Of course, in those days, we hadn't seen much of Japanese here at all. They were strangers. There were more Chinese than Japanese where we lived.
But in Market Gardens, pretty close by.
Well, there was originally during the First War. But by the Second War, they'd gone up north, up Charles Street, Wanneroo, and up there about another 10 miles out. And although there were still a few markets left around West Perth, somewhere there. Just around there where that now...
The Lake Munger area.
They'd missed there because that was populated. Hey? And they were out in Wanneroo area. That was a swampy, if you look at the map, more or less a swampy area going up north from West Perth.
So what to what degree was there a level of concern that the Japanese might be coming down?
Oh. Well, we were very hostile towards them, and people were making provision at their own instigation to get some defence against air attack or something like that, digging trenches and things. And I know my old man was very hostile. Because he was, about 50, I think, at the time. He wasn't young. Yeah, and... the only Japs we'd seen, although I hadn't seen them, but they were up on the Pearl searching.
In Broome area?
Yeah.
Pearl divers?
Yeah, pearl divers. There weren't many of them, though. But only... what I can make of it, just selected ones.
You weren't aware of the fact that Broome had been bombed and Darwin had been bombed?
No, we weren't told that. Well, not that I can recall.
What about propaganda about the Japanese? Did you see any of that?
With the civilian population? I don't think it was necessary. They were naturally hostile towards them.
Did you know where you would be likely to be sent at this point?
No. We were, as far as we knew, we were mainly the defence of Australia. And we then, which turned out to be mainly... well, for us, the Brisbane Line,
Tell us about the Brisbane Line.
it was about 40 miles, I suppose, north of Brisbane in Queensland, and sort of swung around there. And of course, the general sort of accepted thing was that the Japs were heading for the north part of Queensland or Australia.
What was the main aim of the Brisbane Line?
To defend Australia and train the troops. Jungle warfare. We've not done any of that. It was all open country.
Well, I understand the Brisbane Line was the last line of point of defence if the Japanese should invade. What was the feeling about the fact that the Brisbane Line was being maintained and that not all of Australia could be defended?
Well, of course, we weren't moving around amongst the population, but of course, there were... Well, the general population was certainly hostile to the Japs, and we, I think urged them on a bit too. They had to provide a lot of their own defence if possible. And I think we did about 6 weeks in Adelaide before we then moved round to the north of New South Wales and then up onto the line. And
what was Adelaide like at that time?
Well, they were very touchy. I'm not certain as to whether there had been any appearance of them there, but I think there was a feeling there had been some German patrols around, Sikh patrols around. But they were generally hostile. The population was very friendly towards us. One thing I I had to do there was go around when we got on the line up around Budrum and and the foothills there. I had to go around the farms and take stock of what was on the farms. God knows why. Not to go around. And it was quite pleasant. I got a great feed of tropical fruit. It was always waiting for me at the various farms. Yeah. And then, of course, at the same time, well, I had to do that. There were other jobs to be done. We were training and all sorts of things like that. And there were some parts, gun positions and things like that, mainly old guns, 18-pounders, dug in around the coast. The aim being, I think, was that, if we had to, we spiked the guns. If we had to withdraw, because we couldn't get them out, they were right down at practically sea level. And, they were left there, to my knowledge. Yes, mind you, we... We'd only just got the 25 pounder in the, when we're in the Middle East. And I think the whole, the majority of 7 Div was around there.
There were midget subs in Sydney in May, the end of May. Did you hear about that?
No.
Sydney Harbour coming in?
No, not getting in. We might have sometime later, but not when it occurred. May. We were busy around then. Of course, we could have been told, but we were busy, of course, training and sort of preparing to move on.
What was some of that training? What did that training involve?
Well, the introduction to the tropical warfare.
What did that include?
Well, close warfare, you know, use of grenades, bayonet, and things like that, and movement, quiet things, generally jungle warfare. it was a big thing in those days.
What about tactics? What sort of tactics were you being trained for?
Oh, well, they were close tactics. Different to being able to set down a gun and fire a few hundred yards or something like that. Well, you're right on top of them. And you have to be prepared the whole of the time. In case you were suddenly jumped on, you might say. See, the ground was, there was plenty of foliage around the place there, around that Budrum and that. I don't know whether you know the place there, Budrum. It's a big hill. North of Brisbane there, just a little bit back from the coast. We were busy with this jungle training, you know. we knew that what there was the problem.
Did you know where the Japanese were at this time?
Well, we realised they were getting close, and that was towards New Guinea, or Papua, and that and a battalion was already, before we arrived on the scene, had been sent over there to sort of police the place.
Who were they?
Well, they were the 39th Battalion.
And how are they seen by them?
They were mainly CMF troops, and they acted very well. Mind you, they had a number of AIF officers. We had something like about 8 officers in the show, and they were young fellows. The odd older one was
the
there.
The 39th were known as the Chocos, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Well, the whole of the CMM. We're known as Chocos, you see. Till, oh, well, it's understandable. And, I was a Choco at the start. I know, we didn't frown upon them.
Did you know about the attempts of the Japanese to get to Port Moresby by sea?
They were attempting to. No.
There was a battle of the Coral Sea between the 5th of May and the 8th of May, 1942. Had you heard of that? That had stopped them from coming in by sea, and they were going to have to take different methods, different routes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that they were. We knew they were trying to land in the Ogona Buna area. That was practically straight across from Moresby. And they were there. And of course, they tried to also land down at the bottom end. At,
Milne Bay.
And they apparently got a good foothold there. And there was one of the units was sent down there, and they finally did them over and got them out. But there was a lot of Air Force down there, and that they paid some of the price.
Did you know anything about the Kokoda Track at this point?
No. Well, at that stage we had I think it was about in August that we went over New Guinea. Early August we went over New Guinea, and we weren't told that we were going up the track, but training there was very active, and as a matter of fact, I was having been an instructor and that, I was given a hell of a lot of work to do on the weapon training and weapon testing. Personal weapons. Improving the sighting of them. What the hell was it now?
Could you tell us what it was like going over, the feelings that you had in relation to heading off to fight the Japanese?
Well, before we hit New Guinea, well, not that we liked it, but it was a job to be done, and that's all there was to it. And
given the fact that you'd heard that they were pretty horrible soldiers to have to deal with, what were your general feelings on heading off to fight with them?
We had no sympathy towards them. Well, you don't rush around going crook all the time, you know. You've got to put up with these things. Hey? And, we were keen to ensure that all our personal weapons and that were, as far as possible, 100%. I mean, some of them, you see, they'd never been zeroed, a rifle. Eh? When I say zeroed, the sighting for the was true. Right? And I was given the job, testing.